series called Forgotten Virtues. And so good virtue or good character is built from good virtues. And so we're calling them forgotten virtues. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about some of the virtues that God has called each one of us to have. And actually, when we practice them and embrace them, we flourish. Like our life improves and gets better, and we become more effective and more fruitful. And so here's the first one. The first one is honor. Honor. Some people would say that we live in a culture of perpetual offense, that we're so quick to be offended, and then when we're offended, to cancel, to block, to cut out somebody out of our life. Now, used to, it was just like politicians and athletes. You know, if a politician or an athlete said or did something, we'd block them on social media or whatever, cancel them, or maybe a commentator would lose their job because they offended some group of people or something like that. But I think it's actually expanded beyond that now, and we now actually cancel friendships. We cancel people in our life. We block them on social media. Sometimes it's a friend. Sometimes it's a school teacher. Sometimes it's a coach. Sometimes it's the whole school. We'll just cancel people and block people and sort of disconnect ourselves from them. And it could be over a misstatement. It could be over a misunderstanding. It could be something someone said off the cuff. It could be something they said 10 or 20 years ago. And we pull it up and say, there, see, got them. And now we're gonna block them. And so, unfortunately, we live in a culture where we're one bad decision away from being canceled or blocked or isolated. And it's not just famous people anymore, it's family and friends. There are people who don't speak to their family members because they don't like who they voted for. There are people who don't speak to their family members because they don't like who they follow on social media. Or there are people that separate over a single disagreement. And sometimes it's a small thing like, well, I'm going to block them. I don't like their vibe. I don't like their vibe. They're vibing the wrong way. So I think I'm gonna block them. Or, you know, she never comments on any of my posts, so I think I'm gonna block her. I'm gonna defriend, I'm gonna unfriend. Or you ever go to text somebody and then those little bubbles pop up? You're like, oh, they're gonna respond. And they don't. Their bubbles go away. Then they come back. Then they go away again. You're like, what are they doing? And then they never come back. And you go, I know they saw the text because I saw their bubbles. But they never responded. We go, I'm done. I'm over it. Here's the thing we all need to understand. If you are always searching to be offended, you'll always find what you're looking for. We live in a very angry and critical and cancel culture, but we, as the people of God, are called to live a different way. And Romans 12:10 says, honor one another above yourselves. Isn't it amazing it doesn't say honor one another like you honor yourself? Actually go a step above that. Honor other people more than you would honor yourself, or in a way higher than you would honor yourself. How are you doing with that in your life? How's that going for you? That honoring of others. There's an event that happened in Jesus' life that is just jam-packed with implications for us in this. And I want to give you the context of the story before we read the story in Mark chapter 6. Jesus was on his way to a village to see a sick girl. And on his way, you may be familiar with the story. There's this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years and had spent everything she had trying to find a cure and couldn't. And Jesus healed her. So this was a powerful miracle. And then he left there, and the girl he was going to see, the little girl, died. And when he got there, he resurrected her from the dead. So you're talking about, like, these are, you can't fake that. Like, these are undeniable and powerful miracles. But I want you to look after that. Jesus leaves those two miracles and goes to his hometown. And I want you to see what happened in his hometown in Mark 6, 1 through 4. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. So they're not liking it. They scoff. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. His sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Look at verse 4. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. They scoffed at him and said, wait a minute, time out. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this the chair builder and the table builder? This isn't anyone special. Look, I grew up around the corner from him. I remember, we used to play out. I remember him. I went to a middle school with him. I know his family. We shared gym class. We went to PE together. I know this guy. This is just an ordinary, everyday, common person, and there's nothing special about him. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe him. And the Bible says Jesus was without honor in his own hometown. Now, there are two Greek words in the New Testament. Most of us don't know Greek. I don't know Greek. But the Bible's translated in the New Testament from Greek to English. And so if you translate the word that's often used in the New Testament from Greek to English for honor, it means this. It means to value, respect, or highly esteem. In other words, to cherish, to build up, to encourage, to believe the best. If you look at the word that's used in the New Testament for dishonor, that's translated into English for dishonor, it means to treat as common or is ordinary. In other words, there's nothing special. This is what they were doing to Jesus. They were dishonoring him. They were saying, there's nothing special about you. You're common. You're not unique. You're ordinary. And so what dishonor does is it criticizes and it tears down and it devalues and it assumes the worst about a person. So imagine this. Most of us have had this experience at some point in our life. A young guy goes to date a young girl. And what happens? He honors her. He loves everything about her. She smells good. He likes it when she laughs. He can't wait to see her. He opens the door for her. He honors her. He dates her. He honors her by dating her. Some of you need to remember what that was. He dates her. And he posts pictures of her on social media with him. And, you know, he just loves everything about it. But then what happens is one day they get married and the pressures of life build and they begin to treat one another as ordinary and as common, and he doesn't cherish her anymore, he doesn't honor her anymore, he just treats her like any other everyday ordinary thing or person. And one day he walks in from work, he throws his stuff down on the couch and he says, what have you been doing all day? And it's an atmosphere of common, familiar, ordinary dishonor. And I remember many years ago, there was a leader in not this church, in a different church, who told me, when I married, I told my wife I loved her, and I told her if that ever changed, I'd let her know. He told me that. He literally told me that. And he thought that was so smart, and I thought it was so dumb. But I didn't know him well enough to tell him it was dumb. We hadn't known each other that long. And I thought, if you think that's the way to have a good relationship, you're missing something. And look, the opposite's also true, right? Ladies, sometimes, you know, there's that guy, he's cute, he's funny. You brag about him all the time. You want to take pictures everywhere. And then one day he becomes ordinary and common and pressure of life sets in and he becomes your old man. And he can't do anything right and you let him know all the time. And he's become ordinary. I remember many years ago I was meeting with a couple who was having some problems. And as is almost always the case, you know, they both contributed to the problem. But in the middle of this conversation, the wife says to me, well, listen, I mean, I'm gonna treat him in a more honorable way when he acts honorable. And I said to her, is that how you want him to love you? Only when you deserve it? And she said, well, no. And I said, well, why do you think it's okay to only treat him honorably when he acts honorably? Shouldn't you treat him with honor all the time? Isn't that how you want him to treat you, with love all the time? And there's something about us that thinks this issue of honor, that it's based on merit or someone has to earn it. Do you know why people are honorable? People are honorable. People ought to be honored and deserve honor because they are a creation of our Creator. And so we have to extend a basic amount of honor to all of God's creation because He made it. It was His idea. He's the one that formed and shaped and all of this. And it is amazing that when you treat something dishonorably and you tear it down and you criticize it and all of this, how it seems like people begin to act in a more dishonorable way. But when you treat a person with honor and you build them up and you encourage them, it's funny how oftentimes they'll become more honorable. And you know why? Because dishonor tears down and honor builds up. And you and I are called to be people of honor. And the way that you and I become people of honor is by practicing honor. Like, you're just not going to wait for it just to pop out one day. You're not going to power up, you know, and then one day it's just going to lunge forth out of you. You and I become people of honor by practicing honor. And the more we practice honor, the more it seeps into our heart, and the more we become people of honor and the people that God called us to be. So let me give you, narrow this down to a few people in the Bible that God calls us to honor. And as we practice honor on them, we become people of honor. And the first one, we're just going to start at the very, very beginning. We're called to honor God. We are called to honor Him. And there's a verse in the Old Testament that gives us a lot of insight into how honor works with God. And I want to read it to you, 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. But I will honor, this is God speaking, I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. And so this verse is so important to me. By God's grace and mercy, when I was a young believer, I mean a new believer, I hadn't walked with Jesus less than a year, somehow by God's grace, He brought this verse into my life, and it was one of the most formational scriptures in my life the first 2 or 3 years of my Christian walk. And I began to realize, oh, wait a minute, this is a deal. God wants me to honor Him in everything that I do, and actually, as I do, He honors me. And so I begin to think about my life through that filter. But how many times do we want God to honor us, but we want to give God our leftovers? We give Him leftover time, leftover energy, leftover thought, leftover resources, leftover prayer. One of the most important principles of the entire New Testament is the principle of first fruit, that we put God first by giving Him the first part. And so what is the big deal? What is the big deal with tithing? What is the big deal with bringing the first 10%? We honor God before we do anything else. And what does Samuel say? God honors those who honor Him. So we give God the first 10%. We give God the first day of the week. Before we sit and pray, or before we eat, we sit and pray, and we honor God before we eat. Because you say, God, Jesus said it when He was being tempted in the wilderness. Man doesn't live on bread alone. So I'm not going to believe that this meal I eat is going to sustain me by itself. I'm going to pause for a minute and say, God, thank You for this food. And I acknowledge that it's only part of Your resource for me. There's another resource that keeps my soul alive. Psalm says, in Him, I live and move and have my being. So there's practices that we take on into our life. And so when you think about your life through this lens of 1 Samuel 30, you think about it through, do I honor God? Am I going to honor God in this decision? Or how do I honor God in this decision? How do I honor God in this moment? How do I honor God in this relationship? How do I honor God in this dilemma? How do I honor God in this challenge? How do I honor God with my body? How do I honor God with my words? How do I honor God with my energy, with the gifts that he's given me? How do I honor God with my time? How do I honor God with my life? And that question becomes a critical question to guide and lead you through all of life. If we would learn to pause for a moment and say, does this honor God? Or how might I honor God in this moment? Because God honors those who honor him. So we honor God in worship, right? We're careful about how we sing. We're careful about how we pray. We're careful about how we enter, because we don't want to just give God lip service. We don't just go, yeah. I've been to church before and I know the songs, or I know this or I know that, or I've heard that before. And so we just go on autopilot, and it becomes a dishonorable thing because it becomes ordinary and common and familiar. But we don't say, whoa, wait a minute. This is God we're talking about. And no matter if I've heard this song 100 times, how do I sing it and honor God the 101st time I've heard it? How do I do that? See, that's a heart. This is about the heart. That's a heart that wants to honor God. And it becomes from an overflow of the heart that God's not ordinary and God's not common. And we're going to honor God in a culture that makes fun of him and criticizes him and doubts him. And there's jokes about God on late night TV every night of the week. And there's memes and everything else. But we say, no. In a culture that dishonors God, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to honor him with my life. So we're called to honor God. We're called to honor our parents. If it wasn't quiet before. So I want to talk to our young people that are online in the room. So maybe your first reaction to that is, but you listen, my parents are old and weird. I got news for you. One day you're going to be old and weird. Right? It's just part of the life cycle. So, here's my counsel to you. Practice honoring them. Practice honoring them, and it will make you a person of honor. And look, because everybody doesn't have perfect parents. Everybody doesn't have parents who do everything right. No parents are perfect, but then there are some parents that are harmful or destructive or all kinds of things. And so you might even have to be creative in how you honor them. And you might have to be selective in how you honor them. And I promise you, if you have a lot of pain in that relationship, it's going to be a big challenge for you to honor them. And you'll never do it perfectly, but I've got great news for you. It's not about doing it perfectly. It's just about trying. It's about practice. And you want to do that because the more that you do that, the more that you'll become a person of honor. And God honors those who honor him. And then I want to say just a word to parents. God hasn't called you to be your kids' buddies. He's called you to be their spiritual authority that speaks life and speaks life into them. And it's foolish not to teach your kids about honor and think that one day that they're going to go to school then and honor a teacher or a coach or a boss in the future, or maybe even their future spouse. If you're going to teach them to challenge every authority in their life, then don't be surprised if they become people of dishonor. And don't be surprised if that doesn't hurt them, because it will hurt them. Because God has called us to be people of honor. And if you don't teach your children about honor, you're robbing them of a virtue that will give them good character. So God has called us to also honor those in authority. Now, I'm keenly aware that in an election year, that's a tough conversation to have, because maybe you don't like this administration or the last one, or the last one that'll be the next one or not the next one. I don't know. I'm losing track now, if I'm being honest. We've all had leaders above us that we didn't like very much. We've had leaders above us that we liked a little more than we liked the other ones. But look, I don't know anybody that believes that our country's in great shape. We are a culture of anger. A lot of people are mad. We're in debt up to our eyeballs. And we've become a deeply scarred and wounded and dysfunctional and angry culture. Okay, that's not a headline. If you don't already know that, you're not paying attention. Here's the challenge for us. This culture of anger has too often hijacked Christians and caused us to be people of dishonor. You can disagree without dishonoring. And there is a big difference. And you and I are called to be people of honor. And so what I would say to you is, before you share a post on social media that makes one of our leaders look like a donkey's rear end, maybe you want to pause and check your anger and say, does this honor God? I'm a son or daughter of God. I'm called to honor God. Does this honor God? And does this honor the leader that God has put over me for this season? Disagreeing's fine. Dishonoring's not. Before you jump into a social media thread and air out, you know, your opinion and anger and all kind of stuff and sarcasm, go ahead and write it, type it. But before you press send, put on your honor glasses and say, now, does this honor God? Does this honor God, and does this honor in any way the leader that God has given me for this season? There's one more. We're called to honor spiritual teachers and leaders. Now, I don't want this one to be self-serving, so let me give it to you in my perspective, okay? I have two sons, 26 and 22 years old. And all their lives, people from the church, from the body of Jesus, have ministered to them. All my life. When they were babies, there were grandmas in the nursery and young couples in the nursery that would hold them and care for them and feed them and help them while I was preaching or leading or whatever. And as they got older, there were children's pastors and children's ministry leaders and volunteers and people who would teach them and train them and help them. And they've been on retreats and they've been at camps and they've been in small groups. And there were small group leaders and worship leaders and pastors and teachers and adult leaders who chaperoned on trips. And there were people that invested in their life and minister to them. And when my life was hanging on by a thread, there are people in the body of Christ who minister to them and love them and gave them a place of stability and love and community so that they could receive ministry. And I just want to say, for every one of you who, that's you, I love you. I honor you today. I appreciate you. What you do matters to God and it matters to me. And for everyone who rushes home on Wednesday night to throw down a bite of food so you can get to church and lead or care or share or serve, or for those of you who get up early on Sunday morning, man, our team got up so early last Sunday morning. You can't even believe what time. There's no telling how much caffeine was taken in last week to get through last Sunday. But for every one of you that does that, for those of you who practice through the week and go over your lesson and go over your teaching and read your small group outline and pray over the week and labor and reach out and text and care and schedule people to be on a team to serve, can I just want to say today, I honor you. I honor you and I appreciate you. And what you did for my family matters to me more than I can tell you. And not just my family, only heaven knows how many other people you've touched. But I want to honor you today. And I want you to know it matters. Now, why does honor matter? Well, it matters because when you do it, you become a person of honor. But watch this. When you don't do it, it hurts you. I want to show you the rest of the story. Go back to Mark chapter 6, verse 4. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own home." Look at verse 5. "He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." He could not. It doesn't say he would not. It said he could not. He could not do any miracles. He had just healed a woman who had an issue with bleeding for 12 years, and it stopped instantly. He had just raised a girl from the dead. But yet when he got to his own hometown, the Bible says he could not do any of those big kind of miracles because the people there lacked faith and they lacked honor, so therefore he could not do any of those big miracles. I don't even pretend this morning to tell you that I understand what all of that means. I don't know how to explain all that. I don't know what it all means, but I do believe it at least means this. It at least means that perhaps there's some things that God's wanted to do in your life and mine, but he wasn't able to do it because we were living in dishonor. Because we were not people of honor in some moment or some relationship or some season or in some major way. I just wonder if there's any miracles or blessings or answered prayer or breakthroughs that God's wanted to do in your life, but he couldn't because there was no honor there. What would our lives be like if we dug up this little forgotten virtue of honor and became people of honor who built up and didn't tear down? It's so much easier to tear down, but it's so much better to build up. Not just for the person you're building up, according to Scripture, it's actually better for you too. So this morning, I want to take a couple minutes before we end, and I just want to honor a few people. I just want to let this become an atmosphere of honor and a place of honor. And I want to start with my mom. My mom's in heaven today. But she's the first person that ever taught me about Jesus. The first person that ever talked to me, prayed with me, invited me, took me to church. She's the first one in my whole life. And today I want to honor her. And my dad's never been a believer. He just turned 80 a few days ago. And to my knowledge, he's still not a believer. But he really worked hard to try to give me a better life. That he was raised in incredible trauma and pain. And he did his best to try to give me a better life than he had. And so I honor him. And today, we've got nearly another 80-year-old, Pastor Ron Cox and Suzanne, who aren't here today. He pastored here 35 years. They're out ministering in another church today. And he'll be 80 in a couple of months. And today, I want to say how much we honor them and appreciate them for what they've done here and what they do everywhere else. Man, I want to honor today intercessors, people who pray behind the scenes, hour after hour after hour. You never see, you never hear, you wouldn't even know. But today I want to honor intercessors. I want to honor those who serve children, because children aren't old enough to thank you. You don't get much back. So I want to honor those today that serve children. I want to honor those who serve in our community, in the medical field, those who are first responders. I want to honor single parents who are slugging it away with everything they got, trying to play both roles. I want to honor today those who have special needs children or family members. And you battle and you battle and you battle, and nobody knows the fight that you battle. But you keep fighting. Today I honor you. And those who are caregivers, your life's been absorbed by the pain, by the challenge that you care for, and the need, and I just honor you today. And today, we would be completely remiss if we didn't honor the name that's above every name. The Bible says Jesus was given the name above every name, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, would you stand to your feet and just lift your hands and say, Lord, today we honor you. We honor you in a time and a place and a culture and a season that is a place of dishonor. God, we raise our hands today and we honor you. God, we honor you. You're my redeemer. You're my forgiver. You're my healer. You're my king. You're my restorer. You're the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega and the mighty God. And we honor you today in this place. And can I just speak over you? Can we just declare over this place a spirit of honor for a minute? Can I just say, as we do that, if you've allowed maybe dishonor to seep in a little bit, maybe you've allowed some words or some relationships or some things to just creep in, would you just take a minute? This would be a great time to just say, God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. God, I repent and I turn away. And just let your heart out and say, God, make me a person of honor. Everybody's had moments of dishonor in their life. And if you've had that, would you just let that seep out as I declare this morning over this place a spirit of honor? I declare over Kingwood Church to be a place of honor. I declare a spirit of honor over this house and over this family and over this ministry. And I declare this morning a spirit of honor that we would be a voice of peace and a voice of healing and a voice of edification and a voice of hope. And I declare a spirit of honor over every marriage and over every person and over every parent and over every family and over every teenager and over every child. I declare a spirit of honor in this place this morning. I declare a spirit of honor. And Lord, we honor you today. We honor you today from our hearts. As our worship team is coming, would you just lift your voice up and honor him and say, Lord, we honor you. God, we honor you today. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Prince of Peace. You're the King that's coming soon. And God, we honor you today from our hearts. We honor you from our spirit and our mind and our soul. We seek to honor you today. As our worship team leads us, would you just lift your voice?